No, it's okay. I'm going to start introducing the session.
Okay.
Okay, good morning or good afternoon, everyone, depending on which part of the world you are. I would like to introduce this seminar series called Soil Depth. This seminar is made possible thanks to the financial contribution of the Culture Commission of the Faculty of Architecture, La Cambre Horta, within the Free University of Brussels. So thank you for supporting us. But also is made possible thanks to the commitment and energy of a very nice group of people, Alice Paris and Alice Nouvet, who were in charge of designing and managing the web page through which you could attend this seminar, but also Benoît Burquiel, who is present here, and myself, because of coming up with the idea of organizing this seminar and managing all the administrative stuff. Thank you also to the participants to this series. Yesterday we had the first webinar with Serge Kempeneus and Lola Richel and Germain Meulemans. It was really exciting to hear to these presentations. And we thank, of course, today Francisco Dávila, Koen Rueijgens, and Frederica Udotti for being with us. The idea behind this seminar was basically to resuscitate the soil, the urban soil in our cities, in the double sense of revivifying the silt and mostly inert soil that is to be found under our feet, but also resuscitated in the sense of steering new affects towards that, towards it. But without much ado, I just give the word to Benoît and Francisco. Thank you for being there.
Hi everybody. Thank you for being here. I just would like to introduce quickly the two guests we have the pleasure to have today with us for the second session, which is called Soil Being Many, and it's the idea to explore maybe the multispecificity of soil life in connection with city making. But we will see that it encompasses maybe larger approaches to soil. Today we have the pleasure to have with us Frédérique Aïtouati. She is an historian of literature and modern science and also a theater director. And she works on the uses of fiction and narrative in sciences. Recently, her research has focused on the narratives and aesthetics of the Anthropocene. She's a CNRS research fellow and also the scientific director of the Master in Political Arts, SPEAP, at Sciences Po in Paris. In 2019, she published the book Terraforma with the collective graphic design collective Société d'Objets Cartographiques, which she will present today. And Terraforma is entitled Manuel de Cartographie Potentielle, in English, Manual of Potential Cartographies. We have also the pleasure to have with us Koen Rueijgens. Koen had a career in IT as a consultant for network administration and manager of IT services for corporate and communal services. And he founded also his own web design and graphic design company. But since years, he has now focused on his practice as a visual artist, but he's also a volunteer for the Metamorphose Foundation, where they struggle to make possible humusation, which he will talk about today. And then Francisco Dávila will moderate the discussion after the two presentations. The public is also invited to ask questions. Please just raise your hands before doing so. Francisco is a biologist. He holds a PhD in biology and he's particularly interested in research action, action research in a participatory way. He is part of the Center of Ecological Urban Ecology, I'm sorry, and he has developed different works with citizens, as research work with citizen, as one, as the latest one, which is called Si des sols, Citoyens pour la dépollution des sols, where they strive to enable citizens to take themselves the depollution of soil that they are cultivating, and trying to co-create an alternative to the industrial management of polluted soils in Brussels. So I leave the words. We will begin with the presentation of Koen, and then we will follow with the presentation of Frédéric. Thank you very much.
So thank you for the introduction. I will start sharing my screen. So with this application on the web page, I cannot put the camera in the same time. So you will see the screen now, normally. Everybody sees it? So to start, in the same way other ideas became reality, humanization comes from observation. One guy looks at an apple falling off a tree, while Francis Bisigny, that's the inventor of the concept of humanization, and also the president of the foundation of Metamorphose, where I'm volunteering for, he took the time to look what happened once the apple fell on the ground. Once upon a time in the 80s of the last century, he and his father were working in an allotment garden, and they found one of their chickens dead. Instead of taking it home to bury, his father suggested to put it in the pile of compost. Once a month later or so, he decided to look, and he only found the bones back. The years that follows, he did tests with all kinds of animals, like for instance with the donkey of a neighbor that had just been found dead. The donkey was in the family for 20 years, and the woman was so attached that she didn't take action straight away. The decade was already well initiated when they called him 3 days later. The donkey was so far gone already that he couldn't be moved anymore. So they decided to cover it on site with a pile of organic material, which stopped the odor spreading straight away. About 3 months later, they only found the bones back. Then later, together with some master composters, he adapted and fine-tuned the procedure till it works flawlessly now with and at any time of the year also. In 2015, he started the foundation because he wanted to go the same way when this time had come. In short, humanization is the way to become humus, transform the body of a deceased and turn it into humus or fertile soil. Soil that which then will be used to plant up to 100 trees a person. By putting this novel technique at the agenda of the lawmakers, I hope we'll soon be able to choose for a more reasonable and real ecological alternative to the traditional burial and cremation. A choice that leads to regeneration and more life instead of costing energy and further polluting our Mother Earth. But before I go into the details of the concept, I would like to tell you how it happened that I got in contact with this, for me, a rather strange topic at first. In 2018, I had been seriously ill for several years already, in a sort of a physical lockdown, so to speak. I had a lot of time on my hands that I used to find the natural way out of my health problems and also to evaluate my life up till then. On a given day, I was thinking about the funeral of my grandfather and remembered that we wrote a little text together with my nephews and cousins that was used in church on the day of the funeral. I also found back some old digital pictures and sent them around to the family, which led to a wave of beautiful memories coming back. The next Saturday, I went to the bioshop where I got acquainted with the boss, who asked me to read a mail on his computer. It was an invitation to a so-called dead cafe, a day to talk about death. the theme was funeral ceremonies. And an half an hour later, I find myself in an apartment in Brussels with a group of 8 people till late in the evening, sharing experiences and views on the impact of ceremonies on the grieving process, which by coincidence I thought about the week before. On that day, somebody mentioned and briefly explained the concept of humanization. The next day, and after informing myself a little more, then I started processing the concept in my pragmatic head. I didn't find any flaw. So I decided to send them a little word on Facebook to congratulate them with the idea. A minute later or so, I already got a message back. Some ping pong led to a meeting with the president the next day. He coincidentally had to be in Brussels the next day, and we discussed some more on the topic. Since he was looking for people who spoke Flemish and someone who could build a website in Dutch, he popped the question if I was interested. I was not immediately convinced that it was my calling to do so, but I agreed to meet him the next week after, with an intention in the back of my head to tell him I was not well enough to work on a computer yet. In the next week, in the morning, I had an appointment with a doctor. She was specialized in fibromyalgia. That was the label they gave me by then. The appointment with the doctor got delayed several times. It took a year and 4 months to see her. We went through a pile of medical reports and conclusions about the misery I went through. But all of a sudden and out of the blue, she said, "Koen, maybe you should do something to be occupied. Why don't you build a website?" I almost fell off my chair because since I only mentioned my full-time job as an IT manager and I never talked about the company in web design I ran before. So how she came up with the idea is still a riddle to me. But I decided that this coincidence was maybe too much not to do it. And I agreed with the president to build this website when I got better. A few months later, my employer decided to kick me out with a letter that I was unable to fulfill any function. I was shocked. And I decided to prove them wrong by making the website I promised. Once online, a few weeks later, I already got a mail from a certain Suzanne who was organizing a post-mortem night in Mediamatic. That's a center in Amsterdam exploring the limits in between art and science. And she wanted me to come over and explain the concept of humanization. She had stumbled upon the website and found it interesting. But by that time, I was still very sick and looking pale and definitely not in shape to become a public speaker. But I decided just to bounce back from the not able to fulfill any function letter to decide and do it anyway. The day I arrived in Amsterdam, a mail came in from a certain Victor. He worked for the Dutch Health Council and was wanting more information about our novel concept. I replied that I coincidentally gave a presentation in Amsterdam that day, and he answered, "Oh, I live in Amsterdam, so I'll see you tonight." And after the presentation, which afterwards led to Suzanne and the local artist Rosalie starting up a website for humanization in Holland, I met up with Victor. We talked some more, and I was telling him that the next day we had an appointment with the Body Farm. That's a test facility for forensic research next to the academic clinic in Amsterdam. Victor said that he wanted to go there since a long time. So I invited him to come with us. By coincidence, the receiving professor there was an old professor of Victor, which made us twice as welcome directly. A few months later, I got a mail from Victor and he invited me to come and give a presentation in front of the Health Council, because they wanted more information to maybe add humanization into the advice they were preparing for government on new legislation. Again, I was doubting if it was really up to me. I was convinced by the topic, okay, but very uneducated to address a committee of professors and PhDs, all specialists in the domain. But I decided to do it anyway. And I'm glad I did, because now humanization is inscribed in the law as a possibility. That is, if we can deliver the scientific proof it works. Research we can do at the Body Farm if we find the necessary funding. So if I may, I would like to conclude that the world we don't see tries to influence us and organizes the most fantastic coincidences. So if in your young life you find yourself in a situation where you think and feel something should be changed and some bizarre coincidences come up, don't doubt too much. Just pick up the proposed task and you will end up on a roller coaster of coincidences, meeting new people with similar ambitions, and maybe you will end up changing the world for the better while enjoying every step of it. Hereby, I also want to thank the organizers of this symposium, since at a certain point in time, they not only felt we can't keep on neglecting nature, but they decided to do something about it, to raise awareness by the organization of this week's talk and papers, making it clear that even in an urban environment, we can help Mother Earth by making the right decisions, correcting our errors and changing our bad habits. Everybody dies at a certain point. Depending where we are from, there are certain traditions by which we take care of our deceased. In older traditions, body were simply placed on the ground. For instance, in Japan, like you can see on the little image on the left there, or with the Native Americans placed on a rock, or being burnt like in India, which takes about 360 kilos of wood, by the way. Here and now, we have two options, burial or cremation. They both became a tradition mainly for public health and safety reasons, combined with the need to have a place to remember them. One thing is for sure, after we die, we leave our physical or material body behind. Matter does, coming from the Latin word mater, meaning mother, source, or substance. In physics, nothing ever goes away. It's transformed into something else. Vitrimization, that matter of our physical body, goes through a metamorphosis to become soil or humus, which next will be used to plant trees because we would like that our body returns to the source, our Mother Earth. So that as a form of thank you, we can give back all the elements we have been using our entire lives and have gathered by eating and digesting and growing, and that we give it back in a form usable for life on Earth. It's returned back into the cycle of life, into the circle of life. So now with vitrimization, there is life after death possible, even for the biggest atheists. Sorry, but now we will have to break some comforting illusion for those whom whatever is chosen to be cremated or buried. Because with a burial, we put bodies in a coffin under the ground with the false idea that we go back to the source. For a body in a coffin, in an anaerobic environment, and usually even after being put in a plastic bag, the only option is rotting. That involves liquefying and finding leaking into the ground underneath, till it arrives into the water layers. Most people don't realize what happens with the rest at the end of the lease of the grave. Well, they're taken out of the ground, often not even completely decomposed, and they are thrown in a mass grave. With cremation, even though they use filters, there's the pollution of the air. And since they just rinse the filters with water afterwards, there's pollution of the water too. Upon the moment to disperse the ashes, toxins and heavy metals are delivered to the ground. That can happen straight away or after years in a urine wall. We can wonder where some of those urines taken home will end up later, when possibly nobody even knows anymore who's the person inside. Just to break the idea that cremation is a more gentle way than a burial, the temperatures in the oven rise till 1200 degrees. Since we are all composed out of at least 60% water, putting a human body in a coffin in an oven is comparable to putting an egg in a microwave. It simply explodes into pieces. The rest will burn for an hour to an hour and a half, and then the bones and tooth will be milled to become the ashes. In total, there's 3 or 4 kilos of ashes that will be given to the family in urine. More recently, new alternatives have come up, like aquamation, whereby the body is placed in a tube, like the one on the photo on the right, and will then be cut in pieces with an alkaline liquid under high pressure, and then the bones will be grinded. Or resomation, where the body is put into a similar tube and then cooked. The bones are then grinded to give a part to the family to keep. Or recompose, which is already possible in the state of Washington, whereby the body is placed in a heated container with organic material and liquefied air. It's a 1 to 2 month speed process of composting, sort of artificial composting, which makes the quality of the obtained soil very doubtful, and that at a cost of $5,000 a person. So all of these methods are sold as ecological solutions, but above all, they're beautiful profit machines. Machines you put in a socket, with a fast ticking counter and a pyramid organization behind them. In my humble opinion, to change the world, we would have to invent some new words, because words have with good intentions are tend to be hollowed out and are then be used under a false flag. So hereby some new words with regards to humanization. The process of humanization will be executed by humanizators. These are people who will be trained and sworn in to execute all steps to the letter with the utmost respect for our deceased. The place where a metamorphosis into fertile soil will take place is a humanization center of Metamorphosis Garden. That will be a calm, secluded and protected area surrounded by trees to break the wind. The humanizators will have a quantity of organic material ready at all times. This actually consists out of a complete chip tree with trunk, leaves and branches that will be impregnated with water and compost-starting bacteria combined with clay. Talking about soil depth, nearby are some images explaining why humanization happens like the rest of our lives above ground. Nowhere in the soil there is no life, no air, no microorganisms to help out. Look at the post coming out of the ground. Only the first part is decomposed. The further down, the less it got impacted by the soil. And that's also what we see in the picture of the section of the soil when we make a hole in the ground. The lower down, the less life we see. This is the reason why a traditional burial doesn't help out nature. Not only does the body doesn't break down to elements, the elements cannot be reused due to the absence of life at 2 meters of depth. And definitely not when the body is in a coffin and in a plastic bag. To give you a better idea how immunization will be done, I propose to show you some images of a simulation we have been doing with the foundation. So after the usual steps of being passed in a morgue or possibly followed by a ceremony in church or elsewhere, the body will be brought to the immunization center or Metamorphosis Garden in a reusable coffin, wrapped only in a simple biodegradable shroud, not having undergone any specific conservation preparation. The beloved deceased person will then be placed on a soft organic bed about 30 centimeters thick, and then we will have time for a ceremony of last goodbyes and laying down some flowers. Flowers seem to be always related to the last goodbyes, and in the dead cafes and all the organizations I've been visiting, there's a lot of new ceremonies that are being prepared at the moment we speak now. Then the body will be covered with about 2 cubes of the same composition as the bed. The mound is completely covered with a mix of straw, dead leaves and log cuttings, and that to hold everything together. Already in the hours after the family gave their last goodbyes, the decomposition process will start. The body will break down all of its organs, skin, muscle tissue and even cartilage. The cells themselves have a building process that breaks themselves down to elements due to the absence of oxygen. The bacteria in the belly, in absence of the working autoimmune system, will start first and then work together with the microorganisms of the top layer of the soil, the fungi and the prepared organic material to break everything down into small pieces. Also, clay will be added to the pile so that the toxic elements will later get caught in the clay structures and won't be bioavailable anymore. The pile will soon heat up to 70 degrees and will close itself from the outside world. This will avoid that smell comes out. Due to the bed underneath and the consumption of moisture by the heat, nothing will leak downwards. One of the big tasks of humanizers will also be to monitor the temperature and moisture levels regularly, and they will add rainwater if needed to keep the process going. After about 4 months, only the bones are left, clean and detached from each other. Humanizers will then open the pile and carefully start removing metals, protheses and dental fillings, if present, of course. The bones will be grinded with a cremator, the same machine used in crematoria, but not without a very good reason. They contain phosphorus. Phosphorus are the key element for plant growth that we are keeping from reuse for so long now with burial and burning, leading to a systematic impoverishment of our soil. Bones also contain calcium that together with the phosphorus is needed to go from regular compost at that point to become humus. After the grinding of the bones, the humusators will start gently with the recomposition of the mound while adding the obtained powder. After about 12 months, all the cell of the mortal remains are transformed in about 1.5 cube of the healthy of healthy and fertile humus. Humus is a very complex substance, which is not yet fully understood. It has a dark uniform color, spongy structure, and it can persist millennia under the right circumstances. It's an excellent matter to plant trees with, and with time, the humus will expand under the crown of each tree. So after 12 months in the humusation center, it's time to plant some trees. Actually, we'll be planted 100 trees a person. The first tree will be the family tree that will be planted in a remembrance wood in our local commune or city. Next to the tree, we'll place a headstone, a small headstone, with the name of the person and his birth date and birth of death, as we are used to see in cemeteries now. Another plant or tree can be planted at home by the family if they wish so, so they can obtain a part of the humus if they want to. The rest of the valuable humus will be used to plant 99 more trees in a regeneration project of mass scale. For people who want to explain this process to others, here's a schematic overview that you can download for the website. So what do we need to make this practice possible? First of all, we need more awareness that what we're doing now is not sustainable. We have to stop traditions whereby somebody that dies is unknowingly and indirectly provoking more death for those who are left behind by polluting and costing energy without any return to the circle of life. So traditions are good, but they should be good for us too. Also, legislation is needed by putting pressure on politicians to pass new laws that make it possible to choose what happens with our body after we die. What I consider to be a human right. In times that we are looking for solutions to meet certain levels in carbon and need more biodiversity, I hope that for once pure logic may win and that our total concept can conquer the game of political compromise. The system of compromise, which is often leading to missing the initial goals completely or fragmenting solutions to pieces. For us, it's not only important to transform a body into soil without polluting, but it's as important to apply the obtained soil in the most effective way, by planting trees. We would also need more scientific proof and an extensive and honest comparison with the currently allowed techniques to convince lawmakers with more than practical demonstrations. Just before COVID, we started our first knowledge center in Foschau. It's a center to deliver the wanted proof ourselves. Since we knew already that the tests ordered by the Walloon region at UCL were not going to the way they should. That was for a budget of 40,000 euros, I think. This year, the report of UCL came out. This so-called specialist didn't even succeed in the basis of a compost station, something even uneducated amateurs are able to do so. Since they didn't ask us anything and they have not tested our recipe, the only proof they have found was that if you don't do it right, you cannot succeed. There are at least very doubtful results were unfortunately used by the Minister of Local Affairs to forbid all further testing, so our knowledge center is being put on hold. That's why we decided to start a new petition. We already have a petition online where more than 20,000 people signed. We have people on paper that signed. In total, we have 40,000 people that already want humanization to become a reality. But now we decided to start a new petition to put the point on the agenda where we ask for more adequate research. And we would like to put it on the agenda of the Walloon Parliament because it's not normal that a minister by itself can decide it. We need 1,000 signatures. So for those who have a Belgium ID card, please feel free to sign it. You'll find the link on humanization.org. You will also need humusation centra or metamorphosis garden in each region. It's a secured area where we'd like to build an ecological building, especially the old ceremonies and reunion for the grieving. The space can be used to organize events about how to deal with loss and how to mourn, especially after the recent corona crisis where lots of family had to leave elders behind without even seeing their deceased. Let's stand have a proper last moment in private. The choice of a burial was not possible. They just received an urn of the cremated family member. This complete unnatural situation will lead to serious mental damage that can impact the rest of our life, of the lives of those left behind. We need to repair a lot of damage done by these hasty decisions made above our heads, and sharing emotions and similar stories in a peaceful and natural environment would be a good start. For the local remembrance woods, the room to put the family trees with a headstone and a place to visit and contemplate the loss, we can start with the current cemeteries, since they are definitely in need of regeneration. But most communities and cities have lots of other property in their hands already that can be used to plant trees on. That will be a good way to compensate the fact that we keep on cutting trees elsewhere against all logic. For the ground to regenerate, they are available plentiful, unfortunately. In Flanders alone, OVAM registered 80,000 polluted parcels. The cost of remediation of these grounds is enormous. Only that could be another positive effect, a secondary effect for humanization that's next to ecologically becomes economically interesting to start with humanization, just by letting nature clean up our mess for free, only with a few decades of patience, that is. For every type of pollution, there is a phytoremediation protocol that will have to be put in place. Mostly it will suffice to use certain plants to extract the pollution and then next to compost the plants to make sure the toxins become bio-unavailable. In Belgium alone, there are about 100 to 120,000 people dying every year. If only 1% of them chooses for humanization at first, that 100,000 extra of trees can be planted. More specifically, trees that can keep on growing for a very long time out of respect for the deceased. I cannot repeat enough, we need big trees again, since in the last 200 years we have cut more than 50% of our trees, and for a bigger gain they always took the biggest and the oldest trees first. Now we are left with what are bushes incomparable with the trees we had before. We need to restore our planet's lungs, because next to the forest, the next big lung is the sea, which we have managed to ruin in the same time lapse of the past 200 years. With humanization, we can repair errors from the past, which you could actually call soul debt, written a little differently than the symposium's name, by regenerating the soil that we find in a deplorable state now. With the use of humus and the planting of trees, we can make our soil out of fertile again, and making sure toxins are bio-unavailable. Next to the advantages for the soil, planting trees has positive effects on the air too. Of course, that brings oxygen, but there's also the filtering of the air by tree. They fixate the CO2, but also other toxic particles wandering around everywhere nowadays. There will be a supplementary welcoming down of the temperature, cooling down of the temperature on hot days by the canopy of big trees, by which we could do the planet a big favor too. Scientific research has learned us that pollution can be shrinked with 20% globally, just by planting trees next to factories. So no, Mr. Bill Gates, we don't need machines with a maintenance contract and costing energy to take out CO2 out of the air, as he suggested in his last book. That great invention existed way before, and we call it trees. Planting trees has also a positive impact on water. In periods of drought, due to the fact that humus will cover the ground won't dry out. Due to the shade of the trees' leaves, this effect is even reinforced. In periods of lots of rain, humus picks up to 70% of its volume in water. The bigger the plant surface will be, the less problems we will have with saturating water flows. Like recently we had in Belgium, all these inundations. Other than this total ruining of people's houses, there's also been an enormous damage to the soil, because all the humus has been spilled away too. That's going to take years to restore naturally. Humus on the ground also filters the rain, and since we have acid rain here, it makes it clean before it sinks down further to the ground water layers. Humanization can restore the link between people and nature by respecting the circle of life. actually by imitating what nature would do if by itself if we would not be there. Even in urban environments, implementations are possible, as I will show you in later and following slides. As for the grieving process, there's a positive effect. The grieving process can go slower on the rhythm of seasons. After 1 year, the metamorphosis of the deceased into life-giving humans, and that's 1 year passing their holidays, birthdays, and other annual events without the beloved, their life can be celebrated by planting a tree in his or her memory. Many people I meet would like their funeral to be a party with music and drinks and not a sad event, which is actually a very unrealistic wish only a few days after we lose somebody. But it's possible when the most heavy emotions had the time to compose themselves. A real party can then be held with as a symbol, new life, a freshly planted tree in honor of the life of the deceased. The musician will also be cheaper than all other practices because we want it to be organized by the state to keep them responsible for our debt and the fact that they already have infrastructure and grounds paid for by the community. They also have the personnel on the cemeteries that are used to handle the dead people, and they also have the green surfaces and people who can compost and all the material they need. So it's quite logic that they can, with training, do all these tasks. By keeping it from a business, we can also avoid economical desires for more and more profit to take the upper hand. We can guarantee a respectful way of treating our deceased by the sworn inhumators and the right way of executing the process on the publicly accessible sites. We can turn the commercial aspect of our funeral practices, whereby money, energy, and resources are wasted, often only to show off our importance. Go even a step further and use the money saved by just renting a coffin. We don't need a big gravestone coming from the other side of the world. We don't do embalming, which makes that the body cannot decompose. There's no rental concession or urn mold to pay for decades. There's no big bill for burning and cooking. And with the saved up money, we could plant more than 10,000 trees in the honor of our deceased by the sides of the desert, for instance, like our friends of Candavi offer as a service. You see in the little calculation on the right, it costs 25 cents to plant a tree and it fixates about 5 kilos CO2 a year. So times 10,000 times all the time they can be there, that's money worthwhile. By doing so, we can even out all the carbon we have left in our air during our luxurious lives. Actually, a zero carbon passage on Earth should be marketed as being the coolest achievement we can realize, which is possible even after we die now. So I have done some presentations at a few universities, like for instance, the Technical University of Delft, and also in June 2020 for the Atelier Architecture et Anthropologie de la Faculté de l'Architecture de l'UEB, where all of a sudden I had to talk to about 40 students in French, without any real preparation because Francis richly arrived late. But I guess I must have been clear enough, otherwise I wouldn't have been asked here today. It's always a pleasure to see what these young people come up when they turn when they turn the idea into concrete plans and products. Since in Brussels and as in Holland, humanization is inscribed in the law, be it as a sort of a pre-law in awaiting of the scientific proof, it was nice to see this implementation of humanization in the region of Brussels. For the Metamorphosis Garden or Humanization Center, they have chosen to make it on an island for security reasons, which I found a rather fantastic idea. The Remembrance Wood proposition was a green path through the city to remember the deceased. A walk can be made symbolic for the path of life of the deceased, with a moment of grief by halting at the personal tree of the beloved. The already existing green areas in the region would be linked together, as we can see here. A personal dream of mine would be to link all forests in Belgium with alleys of trees to embrace the land with green arms, so to speak. Another implementation was made for the region of Belém in Brazil, where indigenous people live dispersed away from their roots with now no recognition for their history. Humans could be brought back by boat to their origins and then be used to plant trees to revive nature after deforestation. And foreseeing a place where they can meet again, not only to remember their deceased, but also to remember their own indigenous culture. There was also an implementation for the site of Doel, which is an abandoned village next to the harbor of Antwerp, with all the necessary elements of a humanization center, a ceremonial center with organic forms, and also a remembrance route next to the water. And if ever we would run out of soil to regenerate, it could be an idea to create biodiversity zones in between agricultural fields and plant alleys of trees in between. Or use the humus to regenerate the dredged sludge out of rivers by spreading it out and covering it with humus and plants. So again, bioremediation and sort of phytoregeneration that can actually lead to clean grounds again. Humanization has a great potential to change the world, since it brings awareness that we should treat all organic matter, ourselves included, as gold. When used, it has the potential to cure the soil from the intense agriculture and industries and make a transition towards more agroforestry and permaculture. Since now is the time to make right choices for mankind to survive and have a real natural future for our kids, handling organic matter wisely will be a major key into this task. I would like to end with a question. Who can be against a solution that gives oxygen and life for the coming generations? Thereby, thanks again for the possibility to talk here. And if you have questions, there are some data where you can join me. Thank you.